Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning?
Good.
Jeremy is sleepy, he says, so we'll give him some patience and grace on that. Grace and peace to you. I hope that you've had a good week and have enjoyed the blessings of the Lord. It has been a fun week and a busy week, but it's been good. Our family over the years, the past few years, we've taken several trips to Colorado. And last May, we went back there and stayed in this cool cabin, and we do all these little fun things. My daughter is a great planner, and so she comes up with great ideas for us. And so she's like, "Dad, I found a lake for all of us to go to and get a pontoon boat and hang out on." I'm like, "Okay, cool." So you know, lakes in Colorado in May, the water's really cold. So, but we went, and it was like an hour and 45-minute drive. And so we're going, and it's just beautiful scenery. Some of the places that we drove through, I was like, man, there's nothing to do there, but I don't want to go back and visit there. I just want to go back and stay there and just be like, what do you want to do today? Nothing. I just want to enjoy God and His creation. I just want to sit here and take it all in. But we're driving along and seeing all these beauty, and then up ahead, there's a police car. And what I love with our technology today is our phones, and that we have step-by-step, turn-by-turn instructions right at our fingertips. And it's so wonderful. And the way they yell at you when you do it wrong. But I have my phone, and we're going, but we see these police lights, and we're driving up, and we hit traffic. And so we stop because there's an accident. And so they have to stop it because, one, it's a two-lane highway, and one side there's an accident, so they have to stop this side so some of us can go through, and then they stop us so they can go through. So we're going through all that and going through that, and so it's our turn to go. And so I'm going through, and the car in front of me goes, and they turn left. I'm like, okay, that's where the police are directing us. We turn left here. And so I turn left, and I start going down that road, and my phone starts going, "Turn around at the next street." Dude, and it's like, I went the wrong way, apparently. I just figured that the car that was in front of me was going where the police told them to go. But apparently they must live there. They weren't going to the lake I was going to. And so I had to turn around and realize I get to this intersection where usually only two people are going, like, how am I going to get a turn just to turn left? Because I could have gone straight, but I didn't because I followed the car in front of me, even though they weren't going where I was going. But I thought, oh, that must be the way. So many times we get distracted by blinking lights or whatever it is that we lose track of what we're supposed to be following, and we start following the wrong things. And so who are you following, and what does that following look like? And where are they leading you? Today I want to talk about who we are in God, and we've been talking about putting all these anchors in our life in the Christian faith. And I still hold it to the truth that you and I, that all people are created in God's image. We are created to be in relationship with God. That's His purpose with us. And sometimes we're there, and sometimes that we're not. And that God, in His creation for us to be with Him, He has also created these great plans for us to be a part of. And are we going to be a part of those or not? There's this great adventure if we're willing to follow God with all of our hearts. But the trouble is we get distracted from God. Whether it's following other cars or lights or whatever it is, we turn away. And I love in the great kindness and grace and mercy of God, He gently leads us back on track to where we need to be going to follow Him. And so we're going to talk about today, generally kind of what it looks like to follow God. It looks specifically different for each and every one of us. But there is a plan that God has for each and every one of us that is the same. And that's what I want to talk about today, of being anchored in following God. And if we're anchored in following God, it means He's the leader. He calls the shots. He leads. And we follow, right? That's what it means. Leader, follower. Leader, follower. And so we'll talk about that. And I love Timothy Keller has a quote. He's a pastor, and he says this: "Most people want Jesus as a consultant rather than a king. And He does not come that way." And it's funny, but man, that stings. Because is Jesus your consultant, or is He your king? Because He comes as a king that we follow, not somebody that we just get advice from time to time. So as we talk about following God today and talk about His purpose for each and every one of us, let's talk about what is it going to take for us to follow God. And kind of the bottom line for today is this: that following Christ requires us to lose the dead weight so that we can gain new life. Following Christ is going to require us to lose the dead weight so that we can gain new life. And that's what we'll see as we talk about this following. We will be in Matthew chapter 4 today. If you don't mind standing with me, we'll read from God's Word here in a second. Before we do, I want to say a prayer as we ask God to lead us and to guide us in His Word. Lord God, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for the love You have for us, the plans that You have laid out for us. Lord, that You call us into relationship with You, and You call us to follow You. And God, even this morning, as we look at what that is and what that takes and what our part is in following, help us to hear Your voice speak to us this morning. Move in such a way in our hearts and minds that we understand the truth and the love and the grace of who You are, the plans that You've called us to, and how You can use us for Your glory, Lord. God, move and speak during this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is God's Word for this morning, church. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets, and they followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in that boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed Him. You can go ahead and have a seat, church. I love the simplicity of that story, of Jesus just walking along the shoreline, seeing some fishermen, and there's a case that Jesus knew who they were and had spent time with them before He called them, but simply, "Come and follow Me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men." And so He gives them this call to follow, and He lays out what the plan is. Before we jump into this, let's back up and talk about what we've talked about. We've talked about several different anchor points in our life and what it means to be a Christian and the life of faith. And so what do those look like and how they add up to this? We started out with a more doctrinal and theological look at life, looking at being anchored in God's Word, our firm foundation, that God's Word is the truth and is absolute truth. And it's something that we need to build our lives on. The wise man builds his house on the rock. When the storms come, and they will come, the house stands. But if you don't build on the wisdom of who God is, that house crashes when the storms come. Then we talk about being anchored in God, that God is life, that God is truth, and that God is love. He's somebody that we can follow. Then we talked about being anchored in who we are, that we're created in God's image. Yay! But we've blown it and chased after our own passions and desires. We're a mess. And then we talk about being anchored in the truth of who Jesus is. Completely unique, 100% God and 100% man. Lived the perfect life, died as a substitute in the place of our sins that we could be redeemed and adopted back into God's family. Remember that Colossians passage. He's redeemed us. He's qualified us. He's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. He does all this work for us. Very, very theological, but necessary for the foundation of understanding our anchors. The past couple weeks, we've talked about being anchored in some attitudes that we have, namely thanksgiving and joy, and how these two things really, they go hand in hand. You can't separate the two of them. And they're not just like, oh, these are good ideas, that being thankful and rejoicing are directives, are commands in Scripture. And surely there are plenty of things in life that can drag us down. There are storms that happen all the time that it's hard to think, how am I going to be thankful or joyful in this? But even in those times, no matter what happens, there are so many blessings of God in our life every day that we have a reason at every moment to be thankful and joyful if we would just look for them. And the Christian life is being anchored in God, but being anchored and being thankful and joyful, even when it's not going well all the time. And that leads us to today, talking about actions. God, because of all these things, what have You called us to do? Follow. And what does follow look like? And that's what we want to talk about today. So the first point I want you to see as we look at this passage of Jesus with the disciples, first thing, what does following look like? It's God's plan. Follow Me and we'll figure out what we're going to do in life. We'll just take it as it comes. That's not what Jesus says. Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. There's the plan. I want you to follow me, and while you follow me, I'm going to transform you and shape you to accomplish God's purpose, which is what? To be a fisher of men and to reach out for people. The invitation is there. So that's God's plan for us. What is God's plan for the Christian? Be a fisher of men. He wants you to grow in Him, to be a disciple, and learn from Him, and grow and be shaped and transformed by Him, so that you would go out and make disciples. Have you ever considered God's plan for you? Do you think He just redeemed you and just, you know, figured it out on your own? No, He's got a bigger purpose for you. He's got a bigger plan for you. And it's great. Sometimes we think, well, God forgave us. He secured heaven for us. And we'll see Him when He gets there. Is that all? Well, that's part of it. But wait, there's more, right? That's the good news. And as we wait for God to bring us to heaven, there's work that Jesus has for us to do. He didn't just die on a cross so we can sit in an air-conditioned room on comfy chairs singing songs and putting money in a box, did He? He's got a plan for us. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If I give you a push a little bit, and I will, if you're not actively involved in making disciples, you are not fully following God. Because His plan for you is to be a disciple and a disciple maker. And if we're not actively following God in that, we're not actively following God fully. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not following God. I'm just telling you God has a plan that He wants to use you for His glory to reach other people. And are we going to be a part of that? Jesus in His ministry says this. He was meeting people and people were saying He's crazy. His own family was saying He was crazy and everything. And Jesus responds, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Whoever does the will, whoever does the plan, whoever follows God is my brother and my sister and my mother. These are the people. And even at the end of Jesus' ministry in John 17, He's praying and has this incredible prayer. And in it He says this, "Father, I have glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do." Even Jesus was following God's plan. What was that plan? He made fishers of men. Think of it, of all the ways that you can expand a company or do something and make it explode, you're going to invest in 12 people to change the world. That's ridiculous. That's the most crazy plan there is. But we're sitting here in this room today because 12 people followed God's plan and decided to keep following God's plan. And it's changed the world drastically, and it's changed you and I because they became fishers of men. Jesus did what God had called him to. When you think about Jesus' ministry, here's the beautiful thing. How does He start out His ministry? "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Right before Jesus goes and floats back up into heaven in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." How does Jesus start His ministry? "I will make you fishers of men." How does Jesus end His ministry? "Go be fishers of men." The plan doesn't change. The plan never changes. That's always God's plan for us. Go and be fishers of men. Years ago, I used to be actively involved in surfing. Then I learned about sharks. And so, which were always there, I just got lazy. But it was just one of my favorite sports to do and hobbies, and I loved it. And there were times, though, that I paddled out on my surfboard into situations I should have never been in. Waves that were bigger than my abilities, right? And it was just stormy. And so in some of those times, I paddled out, and the faces of the waves, that's like the front of the wave when you're looking at the beach, were 15 to 20 feet high. And I should have never been out in that. And if you don't know what the ocean is like in that, it is powerful. Those waves are powerful. And so when you're out there, when these waves are rolling in, you're paddling with every ounce of strength that you have because your life depends on it. If you've been surfing, you understand that. And so when you don't make it, you get tossed around more than your dirty clothes do in the laundry. It is just a mess. And so there's one day I paddled out, and I am just getting pummeled and destroyed by the waves that are crashing in and crashing in and crashing in on me. And I did the only thing I knew how to do at that point. I cried out to God. "God, save me. I don't want to die out here. God, if You save me, I'll do whatever You want me to do." Right? Have you ever prayed that prayer? I literally prayed that prayer. "God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. Just help me get out of the situation. I'll do whatever You want me to do. Unless God, You want me to be a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. God. So whatever you want me to do, I just don't want to be a teacher. And God, if you make me a teacher, just don't make me teach history. That's just the last thing I want to do. Because I had a really bad history teacher at the time. Even in my most desperate situations, I'm trying to give God directives on how this works. God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, as long as it fits into my window. As long as it fits into, I'm going to give you what everything is in this little box right here, and that's all you can do, God. That's the plan. And if I'm trying to direct God, I'm not following. I'm trying to lead. And if I want to follow God, it's His plans, not my plans. I go with what He wants me to do. In Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 33, it's an incredible passage, and Jesus is asking the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, "You're the Messiah, you're the Christ." And Jesus is like, "Well done, Peter, that's great. Hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. We're going to go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. I'm going to be handed over. And the religious leaders are going to put me to death, but I'll rise again in 3 days. This is the plan. This is what's going to happen." And Peter takes Jesus over to the side and says, "Jesus, no. That's a bad plan. You're not going to do that." And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. Because you have in your mind the things of man and not the plans of God." How easy it is for us to get distracted from God's plans and start thinking about our plans and what we want to accomplish. If we want to follow God, whose plans is it? It's His plans. It's God's plans. It's always God's plans. How that looks in each one of our lives, He wants to use you to make disciples. That's going to look different for each and every one of you. He's not calling every one of you to work at a church and be a pastor. He is calling you to be submissive to His plans and allow Him to use you to reach and grow other people for Christ in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family. Following God looks a lot like the fishermen in the beginning. "Hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." "Yeah, okay. I'll go. I will follow." It looks a lot like Mary in the Christmas story. She had plans that she wanted to accomplish. She had things that she wanted to do. And then the angel showed up and said, "Hey, curveball, this is what God is going to do." And Mary didn't complain. Her response is this: "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done according to His word." Amen. That's what following looks like. God, it's your plan, and I'm going to follow. My challenge for you is this: that if we want to experience and enjoy the new life and plans God has for us, we've got to drop the dead weight of accomplishing our plans and take hold of the ways God wants to use us to reach and shape others. That's what it means when it's God's plans. Second thing we learn in this idea of being a follower of God is it's God's plans and it's God's pace. It's His pace. We like to have a pace in life, how we do things, right? Not many of us like who likes to sit in traffic. Not many of us like to sit in traffic. We have somewhere that we're trying to go, and we're trying to get there by a certain time, and you're all ruining it for me. So if we all just shared the road, we could all drive at a normal speed, right? Why can't everybody figure that out? We don't do that, and so we get frustrated because we're not moving at the pace that we want to move at on the freeway or on the roads. And the red lights. Who invented red lights? It's the worst invention in the world. It's not, but... but we have a pace that we like to work at in life. Some of you are very fast-paced people, and you are go-getters, and you want to do that, and that's great, but that causes a lot of anxiety and stress for other people. Some of you are very slow-paced people, and that's great too, but because you're slow-paced, that causes some frustration and anger for others. And some of you are no-pace people. You're sluggish or lazy. Or maybe you're just fearful of the unknown or getting out of your comfortable zone. And so you come up with all the different reasons why you shouldn't do something, but you make no offer to what should be done. You're just no paced. You just sit there. And we all have a pace that we like to move at in life. And thinking back to Peter and how he misunderstood God's plan, and Jesus had to be like, "Hey, you're the devil right now. Get out of the way. We're doing God's plan." Peter learned in his following from Jesus, because later on Peter writes to all the churches and to all the Christians who are scattered across the land because of persecution. And he writes this in his second letter, 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise," or as some count slowness, "but He's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The Lord is not slow in what he's doing. Maybe you're getting frustrated at his pace, but don't worry. God's got this. He's got a plan, and he's got a pace to accomplish it. And his plan and his timing are perfect. It might not be your planning and your timing, but his timing is perfect. I was looking through some photos on my computer the other day, and I came across a thread that I had saved. And it was a list of all these people, how they were late to work or they missed work. And they were going on for the different reasons that day. One person had to go stop and buy donuts. And there was a line. It just took more time. One person had to take their child to school that day because they started kindergarten. So it just changed things. One woman's alarm didn't go off. Someone got stuck in traffic because there was an accident. One person went back in their house to answer a phone call when they normally wouldn't have. Somebody put on brand new shoes and they got blisters, so they had to stop at the store and buy Band-Aids. Right? And on and on. And all these lists of reasons why they were late to work. And you know, as the boss, they'd be like, oh, you had to get Band-Aids. Good for you. So they were late to work or they missed work that day. Several stories. But why does it matter? Because the date was September 11th, 2001, and all these people worked in the Twin Towers. And what started out as a frustration and a disruption to their timeline and their pace ended up being a blessing for them. And why do I tell you that story? Because there are going to be times where you're getting frustrated because you feel like God is moving too slow or too fast, or you're missing out on things, or God, I'm not ready to move there yet. God has a pace that is perfect for you. It will be a blessing for you that you might not be able to see right now. That it may or may not come into focus later. But God's pace is far better than the pace you and I can come up with for our life. And are we willing to sit with God and wait on God? If God is our leader, if we're following God, one of the most difficult parts of life is going to be humbling ourselves to follow at his pace. If God is our leader, we follow. We don't delay him by waiting. We don't frustrate him by running ahead. We follow. That's what it means to follow. Wherever he leads, we go, because his plan is better and his pace is better than anything we can come up with. And so my challenge for you in this, as we talk about dropping dead weight, is that if we want to experience and enjoy the new life that God has for us, we've got to drop the dead weight of thinking our pace is the best pace. And that God is moving too fast or slow. We need to trust following Jesus and his timing as he shapes and transforms us. Amen? If it's God's plan, I've got to let my plans go. If it's God's pace, I've got to embrace that and let my pace go. That's what following looks like. It might be uncomfortable at times, but it will yield the best results. Do you trust God and his plan? Point three is this. It's God's plan. It's God's pace. And third one is this. It's God's place. And what do I mean by that? We have this old adage, like the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Right? Or in the old days, older days, some of you might know this, and some of you would be like, I've never heard that before. Well, some of us that are more further along in life, it's this many miles as the crow flies. That's great. I'm not a crow. It might be 3 miles as the crow flies, but Maps is telling me it's 27.7. And so it would be great. And so we talk about to get from here to here, this is the best way to do it. That's the best way to go. And this would be the easiest way. But here's what I'm beginning to understand about God. God isn't concerned about easy. He's not concerned about comfortable. He's going to take you through the places he needs to take you to so he can shape and transform you. It's not about getting there fast. Pace. It's about trusting his lead and where he's going to do it. Rarely is it simple the way that God works. Rarely is it going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be downright scary. But God is always there. His strength and power are more than we need in that situation. He will never leave us or forsake us. And he will lead us to where we need to be. I love Psalm 23. And it points it out so well. Most of us know this passage, but think about it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. man, God has this plan. Here he is. He's leading me. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful. Twice, and I've underlined it in there, twice David is like, he leads me. He leads me. And it's this wonderful, wonderful thing. And then you get to verse 3. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me and your rod and staff comfort me. And wait, what just happened? Where is the Lord leading David? What happened to the calm meadow and the peaceful stream that I was walking by? How all of a sudden am I in a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death? My God, what is going on here? Maybe we're lost, Lord. Maybe I should start taking the lead from here. I know how to get out of here. But that's probably how you got in there. Maybe sometimes it's your lead and sometimes it's God. We don't always know. But we can see David in following God wasn't always in the happiest of places. But he was always happiest because the Lord is with him. And the Lord is working in him. In Matthew chapter 3, we read about Jesus being baptized. And what this incredible moment. He's baptized, and as he comes up out of water, this dove flies down on him, and this voice booms from heaven. This is my son, with him I'm well pleased. And I don't know if everybody heard it, because it'd be like, whoa. Or if it was just thunder, I don't know what happened. It's this incredible, incredible picture, and the celebration of Jesus and his ministry. And then chapter 4, verse 1 hits. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. What? Don't look at me. I didn't write it. That wouldn't have been my plan. That wouldn't have been how I do things. But that's the way God did it. God had a plan for what Jesus was going to do. And he had a pace on how he was going to lead Jesus. And he had the places that he was going to lead Jesus through. So you know the wilderness is not a good place in the Bible. It's always spoken of as bad. And yet the Spirit leads Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. God knew what he was doing. And he was transforming and shaping Jesus in that. Years ago, Becky and I went on a mission trip. Now, I don't remember if we went to Honduras or if we went to Africa. It was one of those, but we were gone for a while. And so we entrusted my parents with the care of our children. They said, great, we're going to take them on a vacation, on a summer vacation trip. And they piled in the motorhome or a trailer, and they took off, and they went up the coast, and they had a great time. And along that, they went up into Oregon. And they went to a place I had gone to before in Oregon called Mount Humbug. And I'm not kidding you, someone has named a mountain Humbug. And I don't know why, but they did. And so you can take this little hike, maybe a mile and a half or 2 miles, and you get up to the top of this mountain, and there's this great little meadow there, and it's dotted with these coastal pines, and you can look out to the left, and you can look out to the right, and you can see like the majority of the Oregon coastline on a clear day, and it's just beautiful. And you're like, oh man, this is amazing. And my dad made wildflower crowns for my girls and everything. And apparently one of my daughters didn't like it. And so she complained a little bit on the way and would say things like, I am not a nature girl during the hike. Forget about the trees and the birds chirping and the squirrels like moving across. I am not a nature girl. And then they get to the top, and it wasn't like it was when I was a kid and my parents brought me there. The trees had grown up, and you didn't have the scenery that you had. And so my daughter gets up to the top, and she sees this, and she says, I knew it. This was a complete waste of time. There's nothing to do here. Anyway, I love making fun of Hannah. And so, but it was this idea of all the places, Grandma and Grandpa, of all the places you could have taken us to on a summer vacation when my parents had gone, you brought us here? Here? Why would you bring us to this place and make us do this dumb hike and do all these different things? Why would I go there? When it comes to following God, undoubtedly you were going to have thoughts in your mind like this as well. God, I thought you were going to make my life better. This isn't better. God, how long do we have to stay here? I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. I'm ready to move on. God, if you would just let me lead, I could have gotten there much quicker with a much more scenic route that was more comfortable. And that's great, but that's not following. following says, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. I will follow you. Where you lead, I'm going to go. Where you serve, I'm going to serve. God, whatever you do, I will follow. But Pastor, what if I go through the valley of the shadow of death? Then like David, be comforted that God is with you and his rod and his staff comfort you. But what if it seems like it's taking too long? God is not slow in fulfilling his promises. But let God be your leader. Follow him. And as you follow him, follow his plan to make disciples. That's what God has called us to do and be. If we want to experience and enjoy the new life and plans God has for us, we've got to drop the dead weight of thinking we know the best way to get somewhere. And we need to embrace following Jesus as he makes us fishers of men through whatever path he chooses best. Amen? And that's hard, but that's what it means to follow. I wrap it up with this, and worship team, you can come on up. There's no greater joy than being anchored in following Jesus. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be simple. Sometimes it's going to be downright hard, and you're going to have a lot of questions. Everything isn't going to be pleasant and comfortable, but it will be good. And Jesus will never abandon you. He will always be with you. And who God is bigger than all the things that you're going to face. And no matter where you find yourself, wherever you are, God is using that place and that time to shape and transform you and to use you to make disciples and be fishers of men. And so my prayer this week is that as we examine our lives, that we look at our desires and our plans and our timing and our ways, we would be willing to let go of those and say, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Why don't you take the lead and I'll follow you? And I pray that you do that this week. There's a bunch of verses on your outline. If you're here, if you're at home, you can click into YouVersion and type in West Cypress Church and Events, and all the verses to look up are written down there. And I encourage you to read more. But we give you a daily reading schedule for this week. And so what I've chosen for you this week is the last 10 chapters or so of the book of Job, which is amazing. Job is a man that had everything and lost everything. And if you don't know a story, I can tell you more later. But at the end of the chapters, I think, are some of the most worshipful chapters of the Bible. Because we get Elihu, who's one of Job's friends, who doesn't say anything till the end, rebukes the other friends and Job and says, how have you misrepresented who God is? And he lays out a clear picture of who God is. And then God steps in and tells Job the hardest question ever, the hardest statement ever. Gird your loins, brace yourself like a man, I will ask you questions and you will answer me. And then God begins to reveal the bigness and the greatness and the grandness of who he is. And there's not much said in there about following God as much as it is you begin to understand, whoa, God's a lot more than I thought. And if God's a lot more than I thought, maybe I can trust following him. And so this week, I encourage you to read those passages and be in awe of the bigness of who God is and realize he's got a better plan and he's got a better timing and he's got better places than I could ever come up with. Lord, where you lead, I will follow. Let's pray, church. God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your leadership and your call to us. God, you invite us. You invite us to come and follow you. And not just for a game of playing follow the leader, but God, you want to shape us and you have a purpose for us and a plan that we would go and make disciples. And so God, wherever we find ourselves, may we find joy in following you, being thankful for your timing and even the places you lead us through. As we know, God, you're shaping us and transforming us and using us for your purposes of reaching the lost and helping people grow in Christ. Lord, use us as we follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.